Well, good evening, church. Welcome back to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Sunday evening. And hope you've had a good day in the Lord today. And want to welcome all those out in Facebook land if you're watching. And if you just so happen to be out in the parking lot listening on the 88.1, we welcome you too. And we're going to sing a song of the Lord. Let's all stand and sing number 140, Down at the Cross. Again, welcome all those back to our Sunday night service, and had a good service this morning, and want to welcome back Dakota McQueen to the pulpit, and whatever the Lord's got on your mind or you're put on your heart, let's just put it out there.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you all.
Good evening, church. It was, I'm going to be honest, y'all preached me to death this morning. I went home and I was exhausted. I was struggling, but it was a blessing. It's a blessing. It wasn't one of those, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. It was one of those fulfilling moments where I said, it felt, y'all might have not cared at all. I felt good when I went home. So that's on me. If y'all didn't get blessed on it, we'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. Yeah. If y'all would, turn in your Bibles. I'm going to do some turning tonight. I kind of stayed in the relative same scriptures this morning. We're going to do some turning tonight. So have your thumbs fired up and ready. We're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we are going to be in the 8th chapter. Don't know if my lapel's on. Yep, there we go. Yeah. Maybe. I might just be up front. Nonetheless, we'll figure it out. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be in chapter 8 again tonight. Once again, I will say it for the 1,000th time. It's an honor and a privilege to get to stand up and to speak to you all tonight. A good crowd tonight. I love seeing whenever I get to do both services. I call it the one-thirds syndrome, where usually you get a third of the crowd back. But I'm thankful that y'all came back. Some of y'all that may not have been here this morning, I'm thankful for y'all to be here. Don't believe anything they said about me. They might have told you that I was some screaming, hollering, short, red-haired preacher. Well, believe that, because that is true. But the rest of it, if it's anything negative, don't believe any of that, okay? I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw that old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered from the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship kept sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship stood the captain. I could hear as he called out my name. Get on board, it's the old ship of Zion, and it will never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be leaving all my sorrows and heartaches behind. I'll be safe with Jesus the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. I'm going to preach to you all tonight about a word that you think you know. A word that you think you know that maybe once we open this up, we may not fully understand it the way we think we do. So if you all would stand to your feet, all who are willing and able. Same concept we talked about this morning. You all have seen me. I will now loosen this tie so I can breathe. It also helps me to scream and yell and holler at you all. So be prepared. If another button comes down and the tie gets looser, run. Okay, guys? Right now, you're good. A little loose and one buttoned on, you're good. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to be in verse 9 this evening, says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And we're going to talk about one word in this whole scripture. I'm sure you all can guess where I'm going with this. And that is the word of grace. The word of grace, God's grace, is what we're talking about tonight. Be seated, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I love you and I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, Lord God. I thank you for bringing me here again, Lord, and the blessing that we had with the service this morning, Lord. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, Lord God, that none of that had anything to do with me, Lord God, but it was you and you alone. And I thank you for it, Lord God. I thank you for that unseen captain that we've got in our lives, Lord. But I'm going to thank you tonight for that grace that you have put in our lives, because without it, Lord God, what are we today? But I thank you for it, Lord God. I ask that you show up the same way you did this morning for us this evening, Lord God. I ask that you bless this church to the fullest, Lord God, that you will just honor them, Lord God, as they are honoring you, Lord God, and the wonderful fellowship that they offer, Lord God. I thank you for it, Lord. I ask that you be with them. Lord God, I ask in a mighty way that you show up for us tonight. Empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit again, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take this into our lives and apply it, Lord. And take it out into the world so we can show people about the grace that you have in store for us, Lord. Once again, I love you. I thank you for all that you've done and ask this in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, if I was to poll the group and ask you all what grace meant, I'm sure most of you all have been in church long enough that you could throw me out a pretty decent answer on it. It's not hard. But if I was to really open up the Word, think that we would realize that, one, we don't know as much about grace as we think we do. And two, we don't have as much grace as we think we have. And three, we need grace more than we think we need it. Now, grace, I'm going to simplify it. Grace, like I said earlier, I'm an English nerd. So I'm going to simplify, I'm going to break it down letter by letter. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense is what grace is. But a common misconception with this wonderful thing, this amazing, this marvelous thing of grace, is that we confuse it with something else. We confuse it with the word mercy. Now, it is very important that we realize that there is a vast difference between grace and mercy. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. I talked about that for a minute this morning, about how God has given us what we don't deserve. But mercy is not getting what we do deserve. How many parents do we got here tonight? All right, a whole slew of them. Good. See, I try to do these analogies with my youth group kids, and you can't talk about, you know, parental issues, and you got 15 teenagers looking at you like, I ain't got a clue. Mr. Dakota, I don't know what you're talking about. So I can throw them out here for you all. I got three kids. I've got a 10-year-old son, a 9-year-old daughter, and a 6-year-old daughter. So with that being said, you all, I desire your prayers deeply. That is a struggle sometimes. And the Lord made a big joke of it all. Oh, I'm going to give Brother Dakota a son. He's going to think that it's all easy. Ha! Two daughters in your face. And I'm just, ugh! What do I do? But when my kids mess up, I've got the opportunity to not only offer them mercy, but to offer them grace. As a parent, if you are a... I got my boots on today. I hope some of y'all do too. I'm not trying to step on toes, but if you are a real parent, a real parent that loves their children, you're not going to let them just act crazy and wild. You have to show them right and wrong. That is a loving thing. And yes, there are times when you say, go ahead, son, lick that 9-volt battery. If you want to do it that bad, Go ahead. Ah! Yeah, see, that's what happened. I mean, there you go. But if we love our children, we're going to show them when they mess up, we're going to show them acts of mercy, and we're going to show them an act of grace. I've got very specific rules. If you hit one of your siblings, which happens every day, you lose your iPad and you get put in the corner. Are there times that it happens? And I say, you shouldn't have done that. I'm not going to extend the punishment like I normally do. There are times. But man, there are also times when I look at them and I say, hey, I know you're going through something. I know you're upset. I know you're aggravated. I know she called your drawing ugly. So I know you threw a phone book at her. I get it. I understand. That didn't actually happen. I don't want y'all... This guy's talking about his kids beating each other up with phone books. But when they mess up, I've got the opportunity to show them not only mercy, but grace. And I ain't going to have time to cover them both. So we're just going to land in my favor. We're going to talk about grace tonight. I'm going to show you all, once again, if you'll allow me, five different types of grace. And I'm going to follow on with my joke I made this morning. Each point, each five, I'm only going to spend 30 minutes on each. Okay? Just kidding. And for the record, God bless y'all's church for having that clock back there. Because some people don't bring their phone up here. There's a difference in a long sermon and a hostage situation. So, God bless Thomas Village for that right there, that clock on the wall. The first grace that we're going to be looking at is this. Now, you all don't have to hold your place in 2 Corinthians. That was just what I call my launching pad. We're going to jump all through this Bible. Once again, I don't want y'all taking my word for it. Book of Isaiah, chapter 35. We're talking about grace this evening. God's riches at Christ's expense, because that scripture said, as you're finding your way in Isaiah chapter 35, that scripture said that he became poor that ye through his poverty might be rich. The thought that Christ, in all of his infinite knowledge, power, and wisdom, knew how many times I was going to mess up. Knew that I was going to shake my fist in his face. Knew that I was going to turn my back on him. But still looked at all the riches of heaven and said, I'm going to get rid of all that for that little angry redhead from Pennington Gap, Virginia. I'm going to do that. The mere thought of that just rattles me completely to my core. But we're talking about grace. The first grace we're going to be talking about is this in this book of Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 3. It says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. We're talking about a strengthening grace. A strengthening grace. Not only, now, y'all hear me out. Y'all just got to kind of follow through with how I am. I'm going to ramble. Y'all just jump on when you land. Not only did he offer up everything that he had, all the riches and glory of heaven for us, as undeserving people, that's what grace is. Not only does he do it just in the ways we think, but he does it in the ways we don't even think about. The strengthening grace. It says right here that it is strengthening the weak hands and confirming the feeble knees. I think back to times when I couldn't. Not that I didn't want to, but times I couldn't make it through. A few years back, I had a shattered bone, third and fourth metatarsal in my foot, shattered. Man, that was terrible. I was miserable. I was about 170 pounds heavier back then also, and I was on crutches, and I was hurting and miserable and sweating all the time. It's terrible. Terrible. I go to a doctor, and he looks at me, and he says this. He says, you can't put any weight on it. You can't walk around on it. You're going to have to rely on those crutches. You're going to have to learn to put your weight on those crutches and let those be the driving force to you walking around. I said, what if I don't? He says, well, then it's going to break again. And you're never going to get better. And you're always going to hurt. And you ain't going to ever walk around. So I had to learn how to walk on those crutches. I don't know if any of y'all have ever dealt with that. I was on those bad boys for 3 months. I was still working too. I only missed one day of work. That was when I went to the doctor. So I'm hopping around on those things. Man, my arms were tired. I give about four steps and I'm just leaning on the wall. I just couldn't handle it. But you want to know what happened? During all of that, that foot was getting the rest it needed. That foot was getting the chance to strengthen itself back up. Hey, sometimes the Lord will look at us and He'll see that we're broken. He'll see that we're hurting. And He'll say, how about this? Lean on me for a moment. Lean on me for just a minute. Let me take you off your feet. Let me hold you up for just a moment. That way you can strengthen yourself up. The scripture says that it will strengthen the weak hands. That's referencing the work that we do. Oh, y'all, there ain't no better feeling than doing something for the Lord. I've went out and I've done enough for the world. I put in a hard day's work at my job, and they say, you know, every 2 weeks, thank you with that check, no matter how big nor small it may be. That's how they say thank you. And it's fulfilling. But I'm going to tell y'all what. When I got home today, knowing that I got to be with y'all this morning and share a fellowship with y'all people, y'all got a wonderful church family. I have traveled around to many churches, and the ongoing joke with me and my other preacher friends is, how was it? Oof. Some of these churches, y'all. Woo! But man, I got to sit back. I said, y'all wouldn't believe it. I said, that was nice, some of the nicest group of people I ever met in my life. I said, they didn't run me off. They didn't scream yell at me. They didn't, you know, put a knife to my tires on my way out. And that's only happened to three other churches I've been to, y'all. But I felt so good going home and knowing that we did something for the Lord together this morning, church. And you can try and try and try to do stuff for the world, but until you get done and you have that strengthening grace from doing work for the Lord, oh, there's no better feeling. There's absolutely no better feeling than having your hands strengthened. But then it says right here, it says, and confirm the feeble knees. That's not talking about the work of the Lord. That's talking about strengthening your walk with the Lord. Because you can work and work and work. But are you walking? You can work and work and work. I like to hear these people talking about that they used to work in these big, huge factories and everything. And they worked and worked and worked, broke their backs for these companies. They couldn't tell you what the CEO or the boss looked like if you paid him $1 million. Because there's not a relationship there. It's just a work. And I'm glad that it's not just a work, work, work with the Lord. That there's a relationship and there's a walk with Him too. And that's what strengthening grace is about. Hey, you can't lean on Him if you ain't close enough to walk with Him. Ooh. You can't lean on Him from 3 miles away. You got to be walking with Him. Reading the Bible in Enoch. It said that he walked with the Lord daily. Walked with the Lord daily. And the Lord extended his life. Oh, the Lord blessed him bountifully. But he walked with the Lord. I'd like to get to a point and a place where I don't have to remind myself to walk with the Lord. It's a wake up, get the coffee pot going. You know, you boop, 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 coffee going. And I already know that He's walking right beside me, walking sleepy-eyed, making sure I'm about bumping into the hallway as I'm going to get my coffee of the mornings. I want to get to that point in my life. We all should get to the point where we want to have enough strengthening grace that we're walking with Him daily. Not only is there strengthening grace, people, but there's also sustaining grace. Sustaining grace, book of Romans in chapter 5. See, I'm cheating. I got all my ribbons in my places. Y'all have to flip through them. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Ooh. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Y'all thought I was speaking in tongues for a second. No, I just stuttered on that word. That grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We've got a sustaining grace. Oh, I'll tell y'all what. There is nothing like when you wake up and you're busy. It happens to me sometimes. I oversleep. I'm young. I need my sleep, and I don't get it. It's all I get wrapped up in a TV show. Next thing I know, it's 3 a.m., and I got to be at work at 8. You know? We all been there. Some of us just don't do it anymore. Some of us take those Sunday naps. That's not me. We talked about that a few minutes ago. But when you wake up and you're running late and you didn't even have a chance to get breakfast, McDonald's line's wrapped out to the road, and you're just like, I guess I'm just going to do it. Just got to be without. And that lunch hits, and you're looking at that lunchbox, and you're like, yeah. And you finally get it, and that hunger goes away. And you feel full, and you've got that sustainment, that thing that you can say, you know, I think I can make it till the end of the day now. I think I got it. You're like, oh, we ain't missed a meal. We ain't missed a meal in 29 years. But you say, Lord, if I don't eat breakfast this morning, I'm going to wither away. And we finally get that lunch. And you're like, whoo, Lord, I didn't think I was going to make it. Oh, you held me through another day, Lord. And that's how grace is. Is that it takes us when we're feeling weak. It takes us when we don't think we can make it. And you know why we don't think we can make it? Because sin is chiseling us away and tearing us down. Sin, that's why the Bible calls it a sin curse, people, because it is such a curse on our lives. It whittles us away and it breaks us down. But this scripture says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When that sin is ripping you apart and making you feel like you can't go on any further, that grace shows up and says, if you just have a little bit of me, you can make it till the end of the day, brother. And grace will sustain you where sin has detained you. Grace will sustain you where sin has detained you. When you are feeling locked down and held up by the sin of this world. But preacher, I don't even know what that's like. I don't have a besetting sin. It sounds like your besetting sin is lies and pride. Y'all shut up with that. Don't even. We have all got that thing that is chiseling us away. And until we understand grace and how badly we need it, we are going to become a slave to it. But there's grace. There is grace that will sustain us. Not only do we have strengthening grace, we have sustaining grace. Turn with me, book of John, chapter 14. This is one of my favorite ones. My favorite type of grace right here. John, well, one of them, of course. I got to say the best one for last, though. John chapter 14 and verse 16, if you would. We're going to talk about strange grace. We've got strengthening grace. We've got sustaining grace. And now we've got strange grace. It says that I will pray. John chapter 14 verse 16. It says, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let me tell you about some strange grace, people. And that's a Christian finding comfort in the Lord. That is a Christian finding comfort in the Lord. Why are you saying that's strange? You're a preacher. I know. That's how I know it's strange. Go out into the world when you've been broken and shattered. When the world has seen you fall flat on your face. When they have seen you at the absolute bottom of your life. And then the next day they see you kicking your heels together. And they say, Lord, brother, what happened? Why did the doctor finally get that prescription filled for you? Is that what happened? You finally started seeing the psychologist? No. It's when you get alone with the Lord and you find that comfort. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I might be the only one here at Thomas Village this evening has ever felt like they were all alone. That's ever felt like they was in the darkest moments of their life. And as a blood-bought, born-again Christian, thought the Lord was a million miles away from me. Just begging and crying every night to just feel a little bit of the Lord. I didn't even want to touch the hem of His garment. I just wanted to see Him walking by. But felt like I couldn't. And you're broken. And you're hurt. And you've got this darkness, this thick darkness setting on your shoulders. And all of a sudden you wake up one morning and you say, well, I don't think I need to take the Forzol off this morning. I don't think I'm going to cry on the way to work. I don't think I'm going to tell everyone I'm going to end it today. Y'all can think what you want, but there is an epidemic of depression and suicide in America's saved Christian people. People think just because we got the Lord that we don't go through stuff. It's because that we quit looking for the comforter. We're too busy trying it on our own. But it says right here, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And this is where it gets strange. He does it in ways that only He can get the glory for. I told y'all about me shattering my foot, right? Let me give you a little bit better insight on that one. Our pastor, we joke with our pastor that he always says, you know, and I said that to say this. This is my Charles Barrier rendition if I said that story to tell this story. That way if he looks back and sees how I'm doing, he'll hear me reference him. Nothing wrong with that. Teacher's pay, you know. Go to the doctor. He says, what happened to your foot, brother? I said, I don't know, man. I'm just walking around, and next thing I know, it's killing me to even put weight on it. He looks, does x-rays. He says, the bones are just splintering apart. He says, it looks like they were hollowed on the inside. He says, something is eating through your bones from the inside out. I'm nervous as can be. He looks at me. This now, for the record, this doctor had the bedside manner of a baked potato. He says this. I'm a nervous wreck. All I know is my foot hurts. He says, got any history of bone cancer? I said, what? He says, yeah, those are. And he gives me this big, huge, long. I'm like, buddy, can you explain it to me? Like, I'm 5 years old. Please, I don't get what you're trying to tell me right now. He's like, essentially, you have something wrong that it is eating your bones from the inside out, starting in your feet. It's very common. That's where it's going to start off. It's early signs of bone cancer. And I said, you are out of your mind. He says, I'm a doctor. This is what I do. I'm all by myself. I'm driving home, losing my ever-loving mind. I'm calling my mama. I'm just like, mama, God, mama. You know, like I do every day, you know. I get this news. I don't know how to take it. And this is what drives me crazy. He says, in 2 weeks, I'm going to send you to get an MRI. And then 2 weeks after the MRI, we'll tell you what it says. So I'm walking around for 4 weeks with this burden hurting on me. I said, well, what do I do until then? He says, take some vitamin D. I said, thanks. Go to get the MRI. I go back. They bring the results, and he says, brother, what kind of vitamin D was you taking? I said, I don't know, Nature's Valley, whatever they sell at the dollar store. I said, I was pretty much chalking myself up as gone. I said, I wasn't putting too much money into vitamins. And he held the x-ray side by side. He says, you can see how they were bloomed out and shattered and just splintered away. I said, yeah. He says, it looks like it's been months of repair happen in 4 weeks. I looked at that guy and said, can I tell you what it was? He said, what was you taking? I said, oh, my mama was with me on that one because I was so scared and I knew I was going to cry all day long. I said, Mom, will you come with me? Mom, will you come with me? She's sitting there with me. I said, I know what it was. And she's like, Y'all know how them Christian moms are. She's like, Won't you tell them, son? I don't know why when I tell that story, my mama always turns into Al Sharpton. That's just I don't know why that's how my mama is. But I told the guy, I said that, and he looked at me, he says, well, you know, people got their beliefs. I said, no, wrong. I said, dude, you had me written up as gone. And looky here, a strange grace. But it wasn't the repair of my foot that I was most proud of. It was that repair of my heart because I was so downtrodden. And I got out of there. And he said, my daddy told me right before I went there, I was telling my dad, I said, you know, I'm going to get mom to take me up there. He said, you going to bring a shoe? Now, mind y'all, my daddy, he was a Pentecostal evangelist, God-fearing, God-loving man. Miss him every day of my life. He said, you going to bring a shoe? I said, for what? He says, when they tell you you're okay, they take the cast off. I said, Dad, they got me marked up like I'm dying. I said, I'm expecting to go down there and the whole foot get cut off. He says, take you a shoe. I said, I'm not taking a shoe. He says, take you a shoe. I said, I'm not taking a shoe. He says, oh, you don't believe in God? I said, excuse you? He says, I mean, if you're not going to take a shoe, you don't believe in God. I'm going to take a shoe then. I took a shoe out of spite. That doctor tells me all that news. You know what the doctor looks at me and says? He says, buddy, I'd take your cast off, but you probably ain't got another shoe to wear out of here. I said, Mama! It's in the back of the car. Go get it! I said, ooh, I do got a shoe. I called Dad. I said, Dad, he asked me if I had another shoe. My dad's like, My dad's Al Sharpton too. I don't know what happened. I don't know. But it's the strengthening grace. It's the sustaining grace. And it is the strange grace that keeps us going. I've got two more points, guys, and I'll let y'all out of here. Just bear with me if you would. Not only that, but there is sufficient grace. There is sufficient grace. 2 Corinthians in 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. If you are a real Baptist, you always read that as buffet me. That is not what it is. But it is Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, I love that scripture. Oh, the conversion of Saul. A man, y'all know the story, Saul of Tarsus, pretty bad dude, you know, wasn't your average everyday Mr. Rogers, you know, he was John Wick of the Church of Corinth, you know, he was a hired man to murder and persecute Christians, men, women, and children alike. gets to a point where God says, I'm tired of you persecuting my people. I'm tired of you killing my workers. I'm tired of you doing that. So what does God do? Just like we talked this morning about mean old God, killed him right on the spot, right? About had y'all on that one. No, he didn't. Granted, would it not have been an amazing victory of the Lord to take out the man who was murdering God's people? Would it not? It would have been. It would have been an amazing victory of the Lord. But instead, God says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to change you. And I'm going to make you responsible for 2/3 of the New Testament. A man who was murdering and killing. He says, I'm going to have you bringing people to life. Ooh. I'm going to have you bringing people to me. And that man who had the equivalent of 3 doctorates worth of education doesn't need that anymore. The money he had as a hired gun for the Roman government, he don't need it. Why? He says, because his grace is enough for me. I want to rant. I got the ability to because I'm standing here and I've got the microphone. It breaks my heart to see Christian folks that aren't satisfied with the grace of God. They say they need the bells and they need the whistles. And oh yeah, doing something for the Lord is great. But if I don't get to put a hashtag behind it and make sure that it's trending on Twitter, then I don't want nothing to do with it. If it's not going to bring more people here, then I don't want to do it. How about this? How about we honor? How about we praise God? How about we offer Him a little bit of worship? And how about we let His grace be enough? But they don't want it. A man that had everything that the world could offer said this right here. He said, your grace is enough for me. If I don't get anything else in this world, your grace is all I need. We as Christians need to fall back in love with the grace of God. And not just what we can get from it. I love the Lord. And I love what He does in my life. I love reaping the blessings of the Lord and seeing how He blesses me and holds me up and does things for me. That's great. Praise God. But if it wasn't for the grace of Him, all of it would be for naught. We need to get back to a point and a place in our lives where we realize that the grace of God should be sufficient. That the grace of God is enough for us. And then lastly, people, this is the one I wanted to hold off on. Book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This may be a touchy subject for some, but there's not enough good you can do in this world to get saved. I know some people absolutely, you know, grab the pitchforks over that comment. There's a lot of people that have done a lot of good that ain't going to see the Lord. There's a lot of people that know the Lord here but don't know Him here. And they're going to miss heaven by 12 inches because they didn't have Him in their heart. because they thought they did enough. But I sang in a gospel group. That's awesome. I handed out a Bible tract. That's cool. I rode the church float during the tobacco festival. Awesome. I shared a funny Christian meme on Facebook one time. I one time listened to a Stephen Furtick sermon. That's all fine and dandy. But unless you've gotten that saving grace, then you're going to miss out. And I hate to come off that way, people, but it wasn't my good works that got me here. It ain't because my daddy was a preacher and my mama taught Sunday school. It ain't because I ain't missed a single church service and who knows when. It ain't because none of that. It ain't because I travel and speak. There's going to be people standing behind the pulpit that are never going to get to heaven. And that is a sad reality we live in, because they've got it right here. Not, they don't got it here. They got it right here. Saying, well, I've done enough. I've done good. I don't miss. I go to Awana's. I'm just fine. That's awesome. But for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. My question to you all tonight is this. I'm going to let you all think on this one. Do you know grace? Yes, we know of grace. We sing about it enough. But my question to you is this. Do you truly know God's riches at Christ's expense? Do you know of the strengthening grace that picks you up when you're feeble and weak? Do you know of the sustaining grace that keeps you going forward when you think you ain't got it left in you? The strange grace that only God can take credit for? How about this, that sufficient grace when we're trying everything else in the world to hold us through, but it's that grace that really keeps us together. But more importantly, do you know the saving grace of God? Let me get every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, all who are willing and able. Let's make our way down to an altar this evening and do business with the Lord. I want us to all stay in an attitude of prayer. I'm going to pray. And let's make our way down the altar, do business with the Lord. Thank Him for the grace that He's given you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I ask that You be with us, Lord. I ask, Lord God, if there's anyone here that may have an issue with knowing Your grace, Lord God. Maybe, Lord, that they've had it in their mind, Lord God, but they don't have it in their heart. Lord God, maybe it's someone that is struggling, maybe someone that needs You, Lord God. I ask that You show them Your grace. Lord God, but more importantly, if there's anyone here tonight that does not know that Ephesians 2 grace, Lord God, that saving grace that will keep them from a devil's hell, Lord God, and put them up in heaven with You, Lord God, I ask that You show them that today. Lord God, be with us once again. Lead, guide, and direct all of us in Your will. I ask this all in Your Son Jesus' name. If there's anyone here tonight that wants to do business with the Lord down on the altar about the grace that He has given us, feel free to move now. We know of the grace that He's put in our lives. I thank Him for it daily, but we also need to get to a point and a place in our lives that we realize without Him and without that grace, we have nothing. Right. All hearts and minds clear this evening. Awesome. Thank you all so much. Once again, it is an honor and a privilege to get to be here with you all. Think about that, guys. Take that outside of just this service tonight, about that grace that God truly has given us. And let it just ponder on how much it truly means to us. Because it truthfully is not something we deserve, but He still feels free to give it to us. And it truly is a free gift to us also. Thank you all once again. I'm going to turn it over to this brother. Thank you.